time for our weekly visit with John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
Going well, thanks. How are you getting any summer downtime at all? You're a busy guy, I know.
Well, I think I went from highway speed to, you know, neighborhood speed. is the best way I can put it. It's a little bit of a slowdown. Podcast is down to 3 days a week. Writing is a little bit less than usual. So still going, but, you know, not quite as hard. And, you know, hopefully I get a little bit more of a break heading into the season, which is right around the corner already.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. And, you know, I thought we had put all of this to rest with you a couple of weeks back, but these Kevin Durant rumors keep floating around out there again.
Yeah.
I go back to what you said before. If it was going to happen, it would have happened already.
That's how I feel. I feel like at this point, if the Celtics really wanted to make a move, that they would have done it when they had the capacity to really fill in the spots around whatever remains after a Kevin Durant trade. People continue to push the Celtics to the front of the line, but every report out there, and this is where it's so hard to keep track, every report out there comes from opposing GMs. Opposing GMs believe that the Celtics are the front runners. And it's not necessarily that the Celtics have done anything. I think it's just people are listening and reading and watching the same that we are. And I just feel like the Celtics had an opportunity to make this move and they didn't do it. And unless it comes super, super cheap and Kevin Durant drives down his value to a point where the price is almost like a Godfather offer, the Celtics, I think, are out. But you always have to leave that little bit of a percentage there because you just never know exactly what's going to happen.
Interesting piece you had in Boston Sports Journal on Grant Williams, who seems to be working pretty hard this offseason, among other things, to achieve a better level of consistency.
Yeah, the consistency is the big thing because, you know, he'd have a 50% month and then a 40% month and then a 30% month and then back up to 40. So, you know, he had a big performance early in the playoffs and then he tailed off. I remember after game two against Milwaukee having the big conversation about, wow, this guy is really playing himself into a monster extension. And then he hit a real slump through the rest of that series until game seven, where he hit 7 3-pointers. So the consistency has to be there for him. And he has to just work on being better defensively, being more versatile defensively, being able to stay in front of the guards and being able to navigate pick and roll a little bit better. It's just something that comes with time and experience. You know, he's such a young guy. He's, you know, going into his fourth season now. So I think he has so far to go, but he still has to work because this way the Celtics team is constructed and where they are right now, he has no choice but to continue to try to find his place there in that lineup where he can do a whole lot more because that's what the Celtics are going to need from him. They're going to need consistent shooting. You know, don't need the 6 for 12 every night. Just need like the 2 for 3 and the, you know, the 3 for 6 or the 3 for 7, those types of nights, just more consistently. And all the other stuff hopefully will fall into place for him.
It's such a different world now, too. Guys don't wait around and do nothing all off season and then show up at preseason camp. But they're all working out on their own. So many of these guys have facilities at home or nearby where they can do the work and don't always need the team supervision.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because, you know, it wasn't that long ago where guys would come into camp and be like, yeah, I'm out of shape. That's what training camp is for. This is what we do. We come to training camp, we get into shape, and then we play. And that would have kind of explained maybe a little bit more of the physiques back then and you know, the injuries and stuff like that. This now has become a 365-day type of commitment, where even if you get a few weeks where, okay, get off your feet, recover, You know, you come out of June, you're probably by the, I would say, if I was a trainer for the Celtics coming out of the finals, I'd tell these guys, you probably shouldn't even be picking up a basketball until August. And, you know, which sounds kind of wild. And, you know, obviously these guys are going to shoot a little bit, but don't go out there and start drills again until August. Give your body that full time to recover, because people don't understand how much of a grind it is. And even though guys like Tatum and Brown are young and they come out of the season feeling okay, you don't know these little micro tears, these little things that can pile up. If you don't give those a chance to heal, then you really run the risk of a major injury later on where everything kind of piles up. And you just want to make sure that, especially when you consider how much money's being invested in these guys and how much these guys are, you know, stand to make, no one wants that. So it is a much, much different world.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. We know a little bit about the schedule, including opening night. It'll be the Celtics and the 76ers.
Yeah, you know, you got that. We got Milwaukee on Christmas Day. Celtics hosting Milwaukee this time. It seems like Celtics-Bucks is a regular thing now, which is fine. Like, that's going to be, you know, that's always a potential Eastern Conference Finals matchup now. Sixers on opening night is going to be a real interesting one, because that's another potential Eastern Conference Finals matchup. The Sixers made a lot of moves, so that's going to be fun. We should be getting more national TV stuff coming up soon, and tomorrow will be the full release of the schedule, so we'll start to get a sense of back-to-backs. We know that the Celtics are going to be at Golden State at some point. I think it's December 10th, so there's a West Coast trip out there somewhere in early December. I remember last season, December was the real bear of the schedule, where the Celtics came out in November and it was, you know, not so bad. And December came around and it was all doom and gloom. So I think there's going to be another tough December coming up for the Celtics because of that West Coast trip. But we'll get the full schedule out pretty soon.
Yeah, and it's just nice to see the Celtics of being one of those teams that clearly the NBA wants to feature on national broadcasts.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a glamour franchise. You know, one of the every title contender is going to get their shot. Even like, look, Memphis Grizzlies are a small market team, and they're getting their shot because of Ja Morant. That's always a fun team to watch. The Celtics have marketability. Jason Tatum is one of the more marketable stars in the league. He's always in commercials. You know, he's always in the top amongst jersey sales. So you've got a player that people love to watch. You've got a team, you know, one of those cornerstones of the league. I can attest to that because I can see where all the podcast listens are coming from, and you know, a very global reach for the league. So you want to make sure that you're getting international fans tuning in as well, and fans across the country. It's a team that everybody can root for. So yeah, I mean, the Celtics are definitely back and in the spotlight.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, and the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, appreciate it as always. Hope your week goes well, and we'll check in again next Tuesday.
Got it. Talk to you then.